this verse, we want to look at the first phrase, really, in this verse. In everything, give thanks. Now, that's our goal for this week. Every day, from morning till evening, be ready to give thanks. Because what we're working on is our attitude, our spiritual outlook on life. We want to be thankful people. Because we have so much to be thankful for. We talked this morning about the wealth, materially, that we have in this country. Even those who are considered by our government to be below poverty level have great wealth compared to the rest of the world. And so, we have many blessings for which to be thankful. Let's look again at a few of those. Let's read from verses 15 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and we'll look at those two another time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So in essence, Paul writes here that really the idea of how we are to live our lives. Now, we're not talking about worship, and we're not talking about our obedience to God as, you know, in the way that we obey the gospel or those kind of things. But for us, as we live our day-to-day lives, he basically breaks it down into these few things. Don't give evil for evil. Do whatever is good for you and others. Don't do unto others as you have them do unto you. Same idea. Rejoice. Pray. And give thanks. He basically says these are the five things that this sums up what God's will for you is in life. This is the way we're, you know, these, you know, those five things pretty much cover any situation we're going to come up against in life. Again, we're not talking about, we're not talking here about the way we worship in the church or the way the church is to be established and organized and all those kind of things. But he's just talking about in your everyday, day-to-day life, these are the things. Don't return evil for evil. Don't, instead, do good for yourself and for all. I mean, simple things. Sometimes we try to make it so complicated. And yet, he breaks it down into these few simple little things. And he says, these are the things. And we want to focus on today that last one. In everything, give thanks. So what kind of attitude do we have? Do we have an attitude of appreciation or an attitude of grumbling and complaining? Is the glass half full or half empty? What kind of way do we look at life? Positive or negative? When we see somebody, do we note the good things about that person, or do we automatically note the bad things? Do we put our emphasis in life on being thankful and having an upbeat, positive attitude? Or are we the kind of person that's negative and always finding the fault and always finding the thing that's wrong? If I held up a sheet of paper, and I know you can see the print coming through the other side of that, but if I hold that sheet of paper up, do we notice all of the pretty, clean, white part of the page? Or do we notice the one gray streak that's running down the side? What do we notice first? You see, that tells us a lot about our outlook toward life. What do we focus on? Now, to some degree, that's kind of an optical illusion because our eyes are just automatically drawn to the part that's different from the rest. But the fact of the matter is that in other areas of our life, that same kind of thing takes place. We, a lot of times, are automatically drawn to the negative, to the bad. Why do you think the news shows constantly are putting out the things that are horrible in life? The murders and the kidnappings and the, you know, the beatings and the, all of them. You know, it's so much bad. Why? Because that's what people want. That's what they like to see. And a lot of times people become very cynical then. And they think there's nothing good, the whole world's bad, everything's horrible, and there is no good in life. And they then have no reason to be thankful. Why should I be thankful? Everything's rotten. Everything's bad. But God expects us to be thankful. He expects us to have this kind of attitude. This is God's will for us, to be thankful. Now, one note as we begin the body of our lesson. When we read that phrase, in everything give thanks, I want us to notice that it does not say, for everything give thanks. We are not thankful necessarily for certain bad things that happen, although they can benefit us and we can grow from them and we can be stronger from them and eventually even grow to be thankful for them at some point in the future. But he says, in everything give thanks, regardless of the circumstances. If I don't have food to eat, I still need to be thankful. If my heater is out on one of the coldest days of the year, I know some of y'all have been there, I still need to be thankful. I may not be thankful that my heater is out, but I am thankful in spite of the fact that my heater may be out. And that's the difference. Sometimes we think, well, how can I be thankful for that? Well, we don't necessarily have to be thankful for that. When Paul and Silas were beaten and put in prison, do you think they were thankful that they got beaten? Well, not really. I mean, you know, they were thankful that they served God, and that the reason they were beaten was because of their service to God, not because of some crime they committed. But, you know, nobody in the right mind. There are some people. But nobody in the right mind is thankful for getting beat up and bloodied and bruised, and nobody's thankful for that if they got sense about it. But Paul and Silas, despite those circumstances and despite being locked in the center of the prison, were thankful to God. And they were singing praises to His name at midnight. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was beaten to the point and bleeding and then tied in chained in a cell, I'd be hard-pressed to have the presence of mind to be wanting to sing praises to God. It'd be hard. It'd be hard to distract myself from the pain that I might still be feeling, the aching, or, you know, there may have even been some broken bones involved there. It'd be hard to kind of separate yourself from that, just to be able to praise God. But that shows us the kind of attitude that we ought to have. Now, since I've never been in that circumstance, I don't know. I hope I could have that right kind of attitude. But most of us have never been beaten and thrown naked and bleeding into a jail cell and tied to a boat and left. But we need to be thankful in spite of those circumstances. So sometimes, you know, people get that wrong idea that we should be thankful for everything, no matter how bad it is. We should be thankful for that thing. No, that's not what he says. He says, in everything, give thanks. Not give thanks for everything. Should we be thankful for the prostitution industry? Should we be thankful for the drug dealers? Should we be thankful for the murderers? And no, we're not thankful for those things, but we're thankful in spite of those things. And I think we've kicked that dead horse enough. We'll move on. But God expects us to be thankful. Romans 1:18-21, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And then it goes on to describe some of the things they did, horrible things. He says then in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here we have a situation where these people were unthankful. And the Bible says that the wrath of God is turned against those people who are ungrateful or unthankful for the blessings that He's given him. They didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't thank Him for the blessings. They weren't thankful at all. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says they hoped that the giving that the Corinthians were doing would cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We can help others to be thankful by doing good things for them. In this case, the Corinthians were giving money to help the needy saints. And the hope was that this would cause thanksgiving to abound. Ephesians 5, 3 through 4. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Instead of this other kind of use of our tongues and filthy talking and foolish talking and coarse jesting and all these things, instead of that, we ought to be giving thanks to God. Sometimes we spend our time gossiping or talking bad about somebody else or telling dirty stories or whatever it might be, just, as he said, foolish talking and not thanking God. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks always to God. And this is for all the things, for all the things we have. We talked about that this morning. We didn't get any of those things on our own. They were all received from some other source. They were given to us. And so we give thanks for those things. Whether it be life, or whether it be a pair of shoes, or whether it be a dollar bill, we give thanks. And we give that thanks to God. Even though, in some cases, you know, if I come and hand you a dollar bill, you may say, well, thank you. But at the same time, you need to thank God. Because it's because of His teaching about giving that people give. Even those people who aren't Christians. The reason they give is because they know that's what God wants them to do. They may not be Christians, but they may still have a giving attitude because they know what God wants us to share. God wants us to do to others as we, you know, they know some of those basic principles, even if they haven't obeyed the gospel sometimes. But we need to give thanks. And of course, we need to be thankful to that individual as well. Philippians 4:6 also says that we need to pray with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7 also speaks of our need for thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We usually stop right there. But he goes on. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to be giving thanks as we're doing. Sometimes we think, as long as I'm doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus, I can be as grumpy and grouchy as I want to be. Because I'm doing what's right. But if we're not doing it with a spirit of thanksgiving, we're not doing what's right. We may be doing the right action, but if we're doing it with the wrong attitude, we're not doing what's right. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent with thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We need to have that attitude, that spirit of thanksgiving. God expects it. It wasn't just a suggestion. You see how many verses. Even though we're focusing on this one in everything give thanks, but you see there's a list of places where He tells us we need to give thanks. Each and every day we need to find something to be thankful for. We ought to be able to find a dozen things every minute without exhausting the possibility. Furthermore, not only does He expect us to be thankful, He warns against grumbling and complaining. He warns us against that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and then verse 10 together. Now these things became our examples. He's talking about what happened with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. These things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Nor complain, he says in verse 10, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. He says, you know how many times they grumbled and complained against Moses and against God back there in the Old Testament? They just constantly, oh, well, He brought us out here in the desert to die. And where's the food? Where's the water? And we didn't eat all this manna, but where's the meat? And or as they'll say, where's the beef? They never did get the beef. You know, they had to deal with birds to eat. But that kind of an attitude of always grumbling, always complaining. And he says, that attitude got them destroyed. All of those people who came out of Egypt didn't get to go in the promised land. They died in the wilderness because of their bad attitude. And if we keep that bad attitude, we're liable to die in the wilderness as well. There are examples so that we won't do the same thing they did. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Without grumbling and complaining. Without murmuring and complaining. Just leave those things out. Now, some of you might think, well, you're complaining right now. Well, I'm trying to point out that God has warned us about these kinds of attitudes. We can't have a healthy spirit, a healthy soul, if it's filled with bitterness and grumbling and complaining. So we've got to get that out of there to make room for the thanksgiving that we're going to put in there. James 5:9 says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Sometimes when, oh, sister so-and-so did such and such, and oh, brother so-and-so did such, and I can't believe, I mean, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and he says, beware, lest you be condemned. The judge is standing at the door. He knows when we've got this bad attitude. We've got to be careful. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know, sometimes we're willing to serve somebody, but boy, as soon as we're out of earshot, we are grumbling and grumbling. I can't believe I got to do this for so-and-so, and I don't want to do it, but I know I've got to do it, because the Bible says I've got to do it, so I'm going to do it, but I hate doing it, and I wish they'd go away and leave me alone, so I wouldn't have to do it. And you know, hopefully they don't know that attitude because they can still benefit, but we aren't. We don't benefit when we serve somebody with that kind of an attitude. When we help somebody, when we give to somebody with that kind of a grumbling, complaining attitude, always looking at the negative of the trouble that it's caused and the bad things that happen because of this person and those kinds of things. Jude 1:16. Jude says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But these are the grumblers and they're complainers. And this is a group of people in a list of a group of things that this group of people who is being condemned does. He's pointing out just how wicked these people are. And you look at some of the places, some of the things that are listed along the lines with this usage of grumbling and complaining. It's really scary to think that grumblers and complainers and those that he mentioned earlier in Romans who were not thankful, you know that especially there in Romans, that being not thankful is listed right in there with homosexuality, murderers, and he said, wow, I'm not bad like that. But he says if we're not thankful, we're lumped right in with that group of people. We've got to be very cautious of our attitude and have that spirit of thanksgiving. Well, here are some biblical references to a few things that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for God's goodness, Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And then, of course, right there along with it, His mercy. God's mercy, which endures forever. Psalm 136 verses 1 through 3 also mentions that. Give thanks to the God of gods for His mercy endures forever. Then God supplying our need. Romans 14:6 through 7. He says, here speaking of people eating meat or not eating meat, and He says, hey, if you give God thanks, whether you eat the meat or whether you eat only vegetables, it doesn't matter. As long as you're giving God thanks for what you're eating, you're giving Him thanks for supplying your nourishment for your physical body. What about our fellowship? Acts 28, verse 15. Some people came to meet Paul as he was traveling on his way to Rome. He says in the end of that verse, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And we can help one another and boost each other's courage by our fellowship that we have together. And he thanked God for those people who were willing to come. And some of them, I'm not sure how far Amphiforum and Three Inns was from where Paul's ship landed in numbers of miles, but it was far enough that, you know, that it was mentioned that they came as far as these places. So it was a good trip for them at any rate, and they were willing to do that because of that fellowship. About our salvation, Romans 7, 24 and 25. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we can be delivered from this body of death. For our salvation. And, of course, in all situations, whatever the case may be, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be still, give thanks in everything. We need to give thanks for those in authority. And, you know, there are times for all of us when we disagree with those who are in authority. And sometimes rather strongly on certain things. But we need to be thankful, nonetheless, that we have someone who is in authority. Kind of chaos and anarchy that results when there is no authority is far worse than the authority that we may be under, even if we disagree with it. And we realize that as Paul was writing this, he was dealing with a situation where those in authority were wanting to kill him, and yet despite their attitude toward him, he still tells Timothy, you give thanks for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Then he also says, you know, you give supplication that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life. So we always pray. We go give thanks for them, but then we're also going to pray that they allow us to live peacefully and that they not persecute us. Of course, there are many other things, some of which may not necessarily be mentioned in Scripture, but certainly family, country, health, material blessings, mental abilities, friends, the physical world, springtime. And my dad was just down last week, and we were driving down 17, and the wisteria was blooming, and he said, wow, isn't that pretty over here? You know, it just bloom like that where they are. Wow, all that pretty purple flowers, you know. And it was beautiful. And when the flowers are blooming, and the sunrise and sunset and all of these kinds of things, we can be thankful for those things. There are so many things that we can be thankful for. And you could probably come up with a list 10 times as long. We don't have time to even really start making a list. There's so many things we can be thankful for. But each and every day, as we think about this verse, and as we think about the things that we have to be thankful for, and as we keep in mind that whatever's going on through the day, and there's a good chance that some of us are going to have some bad days before next Sunday, but in spite of those bad days, keep giving thanks. We've got to keep that attitude. But we need to think about our own attitude. We need to examine our own life. Are you a thankful person or a grumbler? Sorry. Which am I? Do you look for the good in everything, or do you tend to see the bad first? God wants us to be thankful in every situation, no matter how bad it is. We already talked about the situation of Paul and Silas in prison, and I dare say none of us are going to get in a worse situation than that. I certainly hope not. I'd be shocked if we did. But then we also need to remember that thankfulness and that attitude of gratitude, when we have that proper spirit, it makes us more kind, more patient, more understanding, and more appreciative of others, and it helps us want to please them more, and you know what that does? That makes them happier to be around us. There's a reason God gives us these. There's a reason He wants us to have these attributes, because He knows that in order for us to get along with other people, this will help. We have this attitude, it's going to help. And then what about not just thankfulness toward others, but what about our thankfulness toward God? Are you thankful to God for His goodness to you? Or do we find even some blame for God like Adam did? Well, God, this woman you gave me must have been God's fault. All God's fault. If God hadn't given him that woman, he'd have never done wrong, right? No, I'm afraid not. It didn't work that way. But sometimes we have that same kind of attitude that Adam had. We even want to blame God instead of being thankful to him for his goodness. If you're here tonight and you don't have the proper attitude, I hope that you'll work on it this week as we go through this every day. And you've got your sheet there that says, you know, try to do this every day, think about this every day, read, you know, there's that poem on there, or the song on there, read that through. Read some of those quotes. I particularly like that one, I think it was John Wesley, after he had been robbed. I thought, wow, you know, that, you know, after you've been robbed, to think of it that way, and I particularly like that last one, thankful that I was robbed and it was not I who robbed. So that's something for us to think about every day. The old saying, there but for the grace of God go I. We need to be thankful for God's grace in our lives that we have the opportunities that we do have. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, you must hear the word. The parable of the sower in Mark 4:20, Jesus shared that there were those who heard the word and received it. These were the ones that wound up bringing forth the good fruit. If you never hear the word, if you ignore it, it won't do you any good. But then, hearing it, there's that receiving part. There's the faith, the belief. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. You've got to believe. And then, we've got to repent. Luke 3:8-9. John the Baptist talking to some of those who came out to talk to him about the things he was preaching and teaching, he said, you better bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. You got to repent. And that doesn't mean just say, I repent. It means you got to bring forth fruit. You got to show it in your life. And then be willing to confess. John 12:42-43, it says, among the chief rulers, many believed on Jesus. So they've gotten those first couple steps. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You've got to be willing to confess regardless of what the consequences might be. And then, of course, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. You've got to be baptized. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't an alternate plan. It was the plan that God gave on the day of Pentecost. And then, of course, we must be faithful. If we have fallen in our Christian life, we've got to get back up and move on. Revelation 2:5, Jesus says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick except thou be dead. He's writing to one of the churches. He wasn't talking to somebody who wasn't a Christian. He was talking to Christians, and he said, you better get back to doing what you did at first. If you're here tonight, you have a need to respond to the invitation in any way. Rest. Thank you.